That was marvelous. Took me back to January. We were at a conference, Passion Conference. Lives are changed. God be praised. You know, there are so many great songs, you know. And especially at Easter time. So I have this earworm going on, you know, this last week. You know what an earworm is, right? It's a song that you can't get out of your head. It just keeps going over and over and over again. But it wasn't an Easter song. It was really more of a Christmas song. It's part of Mary's song, her Magnificat, when she praises God for being pregnant with the mother of her Lord. It goes, "He has filled the hungry with good things, but the rich he has sent away empty." Not very catchy, but, you know, the words just fit so well with Easter. He has filled the hungry with good things, but the rich he has sent away empty. And I thought about how Mary must have been so full that day when she was praising God with her cousin Elizabeth that she was the mother of her Lord. In contrast to that Saturday after her son dies. You know, no mom should ever have to survive the death of her son, right? Kids shouldn't die before their parents. That's just the way we think. And especially for Mary to see this horrible death of her son. You know, I have to think that on Saturday, she was completely empty. And that just as she was empty, so are the women who came out to the tomb on Easter morning, that they were just empty. Could there even be meaningful life after the person that they thought was their Savior was dead? So they came to the tomb empty. Contrast that with the chief priests. In Matthew's gospel, we're told that the chief priests did hear that the tomb was empty, but the chief priests didn't approach Easter empty. The chief priests were absolutely full. The chief priests were enjoying a standard of living that most people of their day would have just, you know, couldn't even believe. They were so incredibly wealthy. They were in a position of power and authority, and they had just gotten rid of that thorn in the flesh, Jesus. He was dead. And they were celebrating. Their lives were full. So they didn't even go out to the tomb. They weren't going out empty. They had everything that they needed. In fact, when they heard that the tomb was empty, they paid the guards some money so that they would spread the word that, you know, we fell asleep in the middle of the night and Jesus' disciples came and stole the body away. They didn't want anybody else to find any hope in an empty tomb. So my first question for you today is, are you empty? Or are you full? Some of you are empty. You're empty like the family that I met yesterday. I was called out as on part of my role as the police chaplain here in Muskego. A mom, a wife, never woke up yesterday. And the police asked me to go and comfort the family. Her husband, he just had this empty stare. Empty. Some of you are empty like that. This might be the first Easter that you are experiencing without somebody that you love. And there's this great big emptiness. Others of you may be empty because I know there's family members here at St. Paul's who've just received some horrible diagnoses, and suddenly your dream for your life is poof, it's kind of evaporated, and you just are here empty. Or maybe your life isn't everything that you dreamed of, whether you're single or married, where you're working, there's something just not right. And you just come here empty. And some of you are here empty, not because you feel it, but because you know it. You know that the wages of sin is death. And you recognize that you are a sinner and that you have earned that wage of death and that you are guilty before God, and you come empty. And if you come to the tomb empty, welcome. This is the place for you to be if you're empty. The empty tomb. Some of you are full. You know, your life is just so full right now that you have a hard time shoehorning in a little bit of Jesus, you know? And maybe you're here in this tomb because, you know, there's this, the requirement family kind of expects you to be here. But your life is full and you're really not looking for anything. And that's okay. I'm glad you're here. This is a good place to be if you're full. But I'll be honest. I'll be praying for all of us to have a Jonah experience. You know, I love Jonah, the Old Testament prophet, because he has had the same job as I have. He was a pastor. How can you not love a pastor, right? Give me a little love, come on. You know. I have to beg for it. And I love the account of Jonah because it's a reminder that pastors can be full of themselves. You see, Jonah was a pastor. He was supposed to go and preach to Nineveh. But Jonah was so full that he knew better than God, and he didn't want to go to Nineveh, and so he decided to get on a boat and go to the far side of the world. But fortunately, God loves pastors who are full of themselves and other people who are full of themselves too. He loved Jonah, and so God provided a storm to come up on the sea, and God caused the sailors to pitch Jonah off into the water, and God provided a big fish to swallow Jonah. Now, some of you are going, oh, that is another one of those Bible stories that I don't think is true. You know, and if that's true of you, just bear with me, okay? I'm going to explain why I believe that Jonah was swallowed by a big fish. I'm going to explain that in just a little bit. But right now, just kind of bear with me and just suspend disbelief for a minute. You know, Jonah is swallowed up by a big fish. And he's in the belly of that fish for 3 days. You see, God sent that storm into Jonah's life so that he could come to God empty. This is part of the prayer that Jonah offers up to God when he's in the belly of the fish. You hurled me into the depths, into the very heart of the seas, and the current swirled about me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. I said, I have been banished from your sight. Empty. Empty. yet I will look again toward your holy temple. You see, Jonah was coming to the tomb, empty. And that's a miracle that I pray that God works in my heart every day. That I, who just naturally am pretty full, especially of myself, I pray that God sends storms into my life, that I can come to the tomb empty like Jonah. And I'll be honest, that's my prayer for you too. Because I'm glad you're here if you're full. But if you come to the tomb full, then you can't be filled. So I'm praying that you come to the empty tomb, empty, along with me. And the good news that I have to share is that that empty tomb truly is empty. Now, I've been to Jerusalem. I've been to the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. The tomb is empty. I've been to the garden tomb. The tomb is empty. But quite honestly, who cares if the tomb is empty today, right? The only thing that really matters is, was that tomb empty on Easter morning? That's the only thing that matters. If that tomb is empty, then we are just wasting our time here. You know, the chief priests were right on target. Let's tell a story that convinces people that Jesus hasn't risen from the dead. If you and I can be convinced that Jesus hasn't been risen from the dead, let's eat, drink, and be merry. Tomorrow we die. Let's just try to fill up our lives with as much stuff as we can, because this is all that there is if that tomb isn't empty. So how do you know that tomb was empty on Easter morning? You and I can't go back to Easter morning. The only way you know anything about the past is by listening to witnesses of a past event. So I would encourage you to read the Gospels. The last chapter of each of the four Gospels. It's interesting that each one of the Gospels mentions different women by name. Mary Magdalene was there, Mary the mother of James, Salome and Joanna. None of them list all of them. Now, why do you suppose that is? Don't you suppose it's because the Gospel writers knew one or more of these women personally, that they had talked to one of these women personally? The women who had been there when they took Jesus down from the cross and they saw he is dead with a spear in his side. The women who saw him buried, they were the first people who saw him alive. But the tomb is empty, just as God had foretold. In John's gospel, Peter and John run out to the tomb and they look inside the tomb and they see that the tomb is empty and the grave clothes are folded up in one place and the sudarion, the cloth over Jesus' face is folded up in another place. And it says, they saw and believed, and they still didn't understand from the scriptures that Jesus had to rise from the dead. They didn't get it. God in the Old Testament had foretold it. Isaiah 53 says, after the suffering of his soul, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. Written 700 years before the time of Christ. It was foretold. But not just in the Old Testament, Jesus foretold it. Over and over again, Jesus told his disciples, I'm going to go up to Jerusalem, I'm going to be handed over to the Gentiles, I'm going to be flogged, I'm going to be spit upon, and then I'm going to be crucified. But he doesn't end there. He always adds, and on the third day, I'll rise from the dead. But the disciples didn't get it, because the disciples knew, just like you and I know, nobody rises from the dead. That can't be true. There must be something wrong. So they just dismissed it. They weren't looking for Jesus' resurrection on Easter. But it happened just as Jesus foretold. The gospel lesson that Thomas read earlier, the angel says to the women, "He is not here, he is risen, just as he said." It was foretold. And then it's confessed by the condemned. You see, if we don't know that the witnesses are reliable witnesses, then we still have no certainty that that tomb was empty. The apostles were chosen because they were eyewitnesses of Jesus' entire ministry, including his resurrection from the dead. So I would encourage you to read the book of Acts with this in mind. As you read through the book of Acts, and you come across James. James is the first apostle who suffers a martyr's death. Why did James die? James died because he said the person who was dead on Good Friday was alive on Easter morning. All he had to do to escape the executioner was to say it was a cleverly invented story, but he couldn't deny what he had seen. You see, this confession that Jesus was dead and is alive again is the confession of the condemned. They were willing to die for what they had seen. Then you read on further. Peter is arrested by King Herod. Same reason. He's going to execute Peter. Peter doesn't get out of prison because he says, "Oh, I made it up. This was a cleverly invented story." And Paul, you read on. How many times was Paul thrown into prison, beaten, all because he couldn't deny this fact that Jesus is alive, that the tomb was empty. And they go, "What are you making such a big deal of this, Pastor? We've all heard this before." This is not just an academic exercise for me. You see, yesterday I had to look into the eyes of family members who had just lost a mom and a wife and say, "Your mom's okay. She was a believer in Jesus, attended one of the Christian churches here in Muskego, was active in Bible study. You know, your mom's okay. She's with Jesus in heaven. And her body that's lying on the living room floor right now, that body's going to rise from the dead." How do I know that? I haven't seen anybody rise from the dead, neither have you. How do you know that? You see, this isn't just something academic. This is something that you and I have to claim over and over again, that it really is true, that the tomb was empty. And if you go, "Well, wait a second. This is just all recorded in the Bible, and we can't trust the Bible." If you feel that way, I implore you to join with me in a Bible study. If you We're starting a new Following the Promise Bible study in a few weeks. Mark your connection card. Say, "Hey, I want to understand this, because this is one of the lessons." I call it the chain of custody lesson. How do we know that the confession of the condemned is what we have in the Bible today? There is some pretty powerful testimony that I want the Holy Spirit to share with you and place onto your heart. And if you don't have time to do that Bible study, just mark chain of custody on your connection card. I'll give you a call, I'll email you, and we'll sit down and we'll talk, because this is the most important thing for you to know with absolute certainty, that that tomb is empty. And if that tomb is empty, then everything else is true too. You see, why do I believe that Jonah was swallowed by a big fish? I don't know what fish this was that swallowed Jonah. I don't know how Jonah could stay alive for 3 days. I don't know. I don't have to know. All I know is I have a God who raised himself from the dead on Easter morning, and if he can raise himself from the dead, then he can keep Jonah alive in the belly of a big fish. If he rose from the dead, then he is a God who is powerful enough to create the world in 6 days. If he rose from the dead, then he is a God who is powerful enough and wise enough to know every care and concern that you and I have, and that he is able to help no matter what problem you and I have. It's all true if the tomb is empty. The tomb is empty. And if we come to that empty tomb empty, we'll walk away full. Now, I'm looking forward to this next message series. Mike mentioned it. If you get your note sheet out, you'll notice the My Next Steps. Over the next 4 weeks, we're just going to talk about how that empty tomb fills empty spots in our lives. You know, if our hearts are empty, there's just this sense of hopelessness. The empty tomb speaks to that. If you have a job that you just hate, you know, it's incredibly monotonous, your life is monotonous, you know what? The empty tomb speaks to that and can give you a full life. If your home isn't the dream that you had, the empty tomb can speak to that. Because that empty tomb promises that we'll have a house, a home that's full and complete forever. I'm looking forward to just studying this and thinking this through and being able to share that with you. And I hope that you come on back. Because the tomb is empty. And when we come to the tomb empty, we'll walk away full. I just want to share with you just real quickly how this tomb fills us. It fills us, first of all, with the Lord's companionship. Jesus said, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the earth." I don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. Just as that family yesterday didn't know that yesterday was going to be a day of sorrow, I don't know what tomorrow's going to bring for you, but I do know that no matter what happens tomorrow, the Lord is with you because the tomb was empty. I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Now, I know that the Lord will fulfill his promises. If he could fulfill this promise of the resurrection, then he can fulfill the promises that he gives us, especially that promise that he is the atoning sacrifice, the payment for all of the sins of the world and for your sins and mine. For us who have to admit, Lord, there's way too many times that I come to you full. I have this promise that I'm forgiven for my pride and arrogance of fullness. I come away full of his promises. And you and I can come away from the empty tomb full of life. Jesus said, "Because I live, you also shall live." Because Jesus lives, Lois, who died yesterday, lives. Because Jesus lives, Lois's body that I saw on her living room floor will come forth from the grave. Because Jesus lives, you and I will live. Now, I don't know about you, but about this time, I'm getting really hungry. I've preached 3 times already. I got one more time to go. Anybody else hungry? You know, and there's going to be this powerful temptation as soon as I walk into the house that I'll start snacking because I'm starved. But if I come in and start snacking, you know what's going to happen? My wife is going to be angry with me because we'll sit down to this beautiful meal that she has prepared for me and the rest of the family, and I'll be full and I won't want it. You see, that emptiness is good because it makes us want to be full with something better. Come to the tomb empty so that you can be full. He has filled the hungry with good things, but the rich he has sent away empty. Amen. Mike, I'd ask you to lead them in the confession of faith using the words of 1 Corinthians 15. And I have to get up to the next service. God bless you all.